Hello and welcome to the Success Showcase. I'm your host, Eric Lopkin from the Modern Observer Group. And with me as always is Chip Januszewski from the Happiness and Success GPS. Chip, how are you doing this week?
Doing great. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. We've got some real spring weather this week and followed by some real summer weather this week.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're saying it's supposed to be up in the 80s by the weekend, which is nice.
Yes. So this week, we're going to do one of our book review podcasts, and we're going to talk about Poke the Box by Seth Godin. Now, Seth Godin is best known as a marketer. I think his most popular book was The Purple Cow. He's got a number of them, and they all take on different aspects of succeeding, not just as an entrepreneur, but in a business, you know, if you're an employee as well. Now, the one we're talking about today, Poke the Box, we've all heard the saying, you have to think outside the box. Well, this expands on that. Poke the Box isn't about a different way of thinking. It's about a different way of doing and how you keep having to push the boundaries of what you're working on and how you work on it to really succeed. Now, the key point that he makes in this book is that you actually have to do something. You have to start things. There are loads of people that have tons of ideas, but they never actually take action on any of them. You have to be able to start.
Yeah, and what he talks about is, once you start, you keep going and going and going. And the most important thing, the real win, is when you ship something, which is the end of the process. But you obviously can't get there unless you start it first. So it's one of the book reviews that I downloaded today to take a look at this thing. He says, when asked what you do at work, do you respond, I am in charge of this department or that department? Or do you say, I start stuff? Because being in charge of people that are doing nothing really is not being in charge of anything.
That's true. Yeah, he talks about the importance of starting and the importance of doing. And he makes it, you know, very simple. He goes, are you out there doing something and initiating action, or are you sitting back and waiting for somebody to choose you to do an action? Are you waiting for instructions, or are you moving forward on your own initiative? And one of the examples he gives is that of an event manager. He talks about his friend who's an event manager. And basically, if you hire her, she takes care of your whole event. She does all the work. You don't have to worry about anything. And he says the downside to this is that she doesn't get to choose. She has to be hired by somebody who's promoting the event to actually do it. So she's waiting for instruction. She's waiting to be chosen by event promoters rather than going out and building her own events. So you need to make that decision to really be the one that makes the choice, not the one waiting for the choice.
Yeah, one of the things that I did download for this was 22 quotes, because I always love working with quotes. With a book like this, this is perfect. But what you're talking about is really reject the tyranny of being picked. In other words, having a profession and waiting for somebody to call you. Pick yourself, which is basically taking action.
Absolutely. There comes a time when you have to take action rather than waiting to be picked. Now, we've actually talked a lot about networking, and we each run networking events. But the way I actually got into running a networking event is exactly what Seth Godin talks about. There was another group that was talking about doing an event in my area, and I said, that's great, you know, how can I help? And they kept saying, well, we're not ready yet. We're not ready yet. Well, the people who wanted to do this networking group, they were ready. They were waiting. So finally, we just said, okay, you know what? when you're ready, you catch up. We're moving forward with it. And we created the new group. And that's exactly what he talks about. If you wait for somebody to choose you to do it, you could be waiting a long time and not accomplishing anything. You have to reject that and choose yourself to take that action.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of times people, by habit, just enumerate the possible things that could go wrong or things that are holding them back. And the bottom line is you just have to overcome that. And most of the cause of doubt is just something that you fear is going to go wrong. When the bottom line is you have to fail your way forward. He talks a lot about the more you do, the more you fail. But the more you fail, the quicker you are to being successful. And it really goes back to just action.
Absolutely. And he gives a great example of being wrong leading to great success. And what he talks about is Starbucks. And when Starbucks opened, the original Starbucks was not a coffee shop the way we know Starbucks today. Starbucks sold coffee beans, tea leaves, and herbs. They didn't sell you a cup of coffee. They sold you what you would need to go make your own coffee or what you would need to make your own tea. And it wasn't working, but it was Howard Schultz that took over from the founders and said, you know what? If we sell the coffee rather than the beans and the equipment, this can work. But he wouldn't have had the opportunity to make that decision had they not started Starbucks in the first place, despite the fact that they had gone in the wrong direction. So that wrong decision led them to the right decision. And we all know the success Starbucks has seen.
Yeah, absolutely. And if they had just sat on it and sat on it and sat on it, we would never know. And that's really what the problem is with, you know, a lot of things going on out there. It's what holds everybody back. So the word starting is really, really important. I mean, getting back to what we talked about before, as far as being in charge of stuff, it says every organization has an administrative department, a planning or marketing department, but who is in charge of the starting and finishing department? Every company needs that.
That's absolutely true. Before I started my own business, I worked in corporate, and I worked for a number of large corporations. And so many of them, there was nobody there that held you accountable to say, okay, we need a new idea. Go do it. It was all about, you know, filling up your time, doing the status quo. And companies don't move forward that way. So, and whether you're an employee or a boss, it falls upon you to make that decision to do something. And Godin also talks about that when he was working in corporate. His boss actually told him, and this was when he was working at Yahoo, which the attitude explains why Yahoo has been bought by Verizon and is falling apart now. But he took the initiative to get people from different divisions together. And they had a meeting, they had a lunch meeting to see what it was they each did and what they could do together. And his boss told him point blank, stop doing that. Just do your own work. Well, I mean, that it illustrates the difference between the mindset at Yahoo and the mindset of their biggest competitor, Google. Google actually requires that every employee spends a period of time initiating new projects on their own, where Yahoo was shutting that down. Well, obviously, Google is a lot more successful than Yahoo is at this point. And he makes the suggestion that if you're in a situation like this, where your boss is telling you not to start things, just, you know, stick your head into your cubicle and do your job, you've really got three options. One is do what he says and just keep your head down and collect a paycheck. Two is ignore him and move forward and do things. And the third one is look for a better opportunity and leave.
Yeah, absolutely. The bottom line is the successful companies, are not the ones that are just matching the status quo. In Seth Godin's terms, they are inventing the status quo. They are the people, the pioneers in the industry who are coming up with the new ideas and so on and so forth by doing exactly what we're talking about here, just starting things. So inventing the status quo, that's what you need to do.
Exactly. We've talked about, when we talked about the E-Myth, we talked about the franchise model and building a process to follow. Seth Godin talks about drawing the map. And that process is the map. So are you simply following what somebody else has already done, or are you drawing your own map? And he makes the point that if you're simply following what someone else has done, you're not going to innovate anything. You're not going to make any new discoveries because somebody else has already gone over this ground. However, if you know where you have to end up and you find a new way to do it and you draw your own map, you can discover a new way of doing it. You can be innovative. And that's what sets you apart from your competition. It's that ability to start a project and figure out the best way to do it rather than simply blindly following instructions.
Yeah, and while you're doing that, you can't worry about failing in the project, because if you fail, you are just one step closer to getting things right. And that's why people, you have to prod on, keep on going.
Exactly right. The one thing that keeps more people from innovating and from taking their own path than anything else is the fear of failure. And there's an old quote that I've always enjoyed. It says, try, fail. Try again, fail better. And Seth Godin in the book puts it as the person who fails the most usually wins. And the way he explains this is that if you fail once and you just give up and never try again, then you are a failure. You've labeled yourself a failure. You're done. But if you fail and you keep trying until you succeed, whether at that or at the next idea, you've shown that you can succeed. When you try something new, you'll fail again, but ultimately you've got that track record that, yes, even though you're failing, eventually you will succeed, because from each failure, you're learning how to do it better. And the most successful people on the planet have failed a lot more than they've succeeded. You only need to succeed once, but you can fail a lot of times on the way to that success, as long as you learn each time what you did wrong, how to avoid that, and how to do it better.
Yeah, a good way to look at it is to just think of failure as being a class that you're taking in school. You're learning something to get to the next level, to get to the next level. And the bottom line is we are people who dwell in the past. However, what we have to do is just apply what we've learned in the past and remember that we are living in the present. So there's nothing you can do about what's happened in the past except learn from that and try something new based upon what you've learned.
Right. I mean, Thomas Edison, and I'm butchering the quote, but he famously said when he was inventing the light bulb, he never failed. He just found 1,000 ways that didn't work.
That was one of the classics.
Yeah. And it's true, you can't be afraid to fail, because if you don't try, you can't succeed. And that's a key idea in the book, is that it's okay to fail. You have to keep trying. But trying is not doing. There is a difference. Because we can all do things over and over again that we know we're going to succeed at because we've done it before. It's not a big deal. We don't have to stretch ourselves. But when you try something new, you've got that chance of failure. And it's the trying something new that lets you move forward, that stretches you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what he does talk about too, and he uses examples in the book, is making a list of successful people that you are aware of and asking yourself, have these people ever failed themselves in life? And every single one of them has. And I mean, that's why it's great to read these biographies or just go online and research people, and you're going to find out how they got from point A to point B. And it's just a road of lessons learned from the failures that they had.
All right. And some of these successful people have spectacularly. One of the examples he gives in the book is Vince McMahon of the WWE. Now, the World Wrestling Entertainment is a huge company. It's successful across the globe. And Vince McMahon built this up from nothing. However, he also, in partnership with NBC, launched the XFL, the Extreme Football League. Now, I remember following the XFL, and the one thing I found amazing is that every game that they aired on NBC set a record for the lowest rated show ever. And each week it got worse and worse.
I must admit, I was part of those statistics.
Yeah, it was a spectacular failure, but it hasn't kept him from being a success. He learned what to do, what not to do. A lot of the things that did work and, you know, that worked well for him, he's gone on to implement at WWE. By the same token, NBC learned lessons about what to do during sports coverage that they've applied to other sports. So they were able to take things away from it to allow them to succeed more. The project itself, however, was a dismal failure. And, you know, you can't be afraid to fail. The most successful things in the world have had failures. And had they not had these failures, or at least made the effort, they would never have happened. I mean, Apollo 11, he had people walking on the moon. It wouldn't have gotten there if it hadn't been for the abject tragedy of Apollo 1. Where astronauts actually died on the launch pad. Failure can be catastrophic, but it's not the end.
Everything is ongoing. So you have to look at that as just a step towards something better coming from that. One of the quotes that I have right here is from Ralph Waldo Emerson. It says, "Do not go where the path may lead. Go instead where there is no path and leave a trail." And trying to get to the moon was certainly a way to do that. And
oh, yeah.
We did that.
That's it. I mean, failures happen. You can't be afraid of them. Winston Churchill once said, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that matters. And in the book, Seth Godin repeats this concept a number of times. He talks about starting, but he says, it's not enough just to start. You have to be continually starting. You have to be starting over and over again to keep moving forward. You start, you get to a point, you start again and move to the next point. You know, the book of ideas that someone has, oh, well, you know, I'm too busy coming up with ideas to actually implement anything. Well, an idea that's not implemented, all it is words on a piece of paper. You need to actually start. And just as important, you need to finish. As he says in the book, start, then ship. You need to ship the idea as a finished product, even if you failed on the way to getting there, you keep starting and you get to the end where you ship.
And that's what he says is really the real win for you and your ego is seeing that something getting shipped. And obviously the result is going to be getting credit down the road, but it's so much more important and so much better for you just to see that happen in the first place. I mean, imagine just starting something up and whatever and seeing the fruits of your labor come to fruition and getting that thing done. So that's what shipping is all about. Those are his key phrases, is start and ship. Those are the two big words that I took out of the book.
Absolutely. And he really does hammer home the idea, the importance of shipping, because when you ship the idea out, not only are you showing anyone, yes, you've succeeded, you've completed it, but that boost to your own ego and to your own momentum makes it easier to start the next thing and then ship the next thing and do this on a continuous basis. You know, we all know the story of somebody who had that great idea, and they went and they pushed it and they implemented it, and then nobody ever heard from them again. For, you know, the one-hit wonder. You don't want to be a one-hit wonder. You want to continually be starting something, and you also want to be finishing these things. You don't want to be someone who starts a whole lot of projects and then never finishes any of them.
One of the things that you can actually download online is the Start Now Poke the Box workbook. And it really, it's graphic. It's got a lot of really cool quotes and so on and so forth. But what I really love is the very, very last page, which culminates in this. And it's entitled Go Change the World. And what he says in that is, if you were invited to give the talk of your life, as TED Talks invite us to do, what would it be about? What would you want to teach others? What were your personal experience going to be? If you were given the opportunity to start something that could change the world, what would it be? It's talking about thinking real, real big and then starting towards your path of doing that. But I love the way that this finished. And obviously, real pure Seth Godin at the end says, why are you waiting to start, and what are you waiting for? So, and then it's just called Go.
That's it. Yeah, he talks a lot about the TED Talks and how important it is for each of us to have a TED Talk of our own. Whether we ever deliver it or not is irrelevant. We should all have something that, if they were to come to you today and say, we want you to do a TED Talk, you'd be ready. You can do it. You've got what it is to talk about to help change the world. And even with TED Talks, he gives an example in the book of someone he knows that started a conference that originally was meant to be a TEDx conference. For those of you who are not familiar with TEDx, TEDx is a spinoff of TED Talks where everyday people get together and do their own talks. Well, there are a lot of rules and regulations that TED has put on launching a TEDx event. This guy who was putting the conference together was going back and forth with them and ultimately could not get an agreement because of all of these different regulations. So he did it anyway. He just didn't call it TEDx. Without that name, was just as successful. He didn't wait for TED to choose him to do an event. He moved forward on his own. And that's really the key, is that if you wait to be chosen, you could be waiting your whole life.
And we've talked before about personal development work and finding your purpose and your why. And working on your purpose and your why is really going to be the foundation of what that TED Talk would be. Once you find that, that's you. That's what you need to talk about. So it's so important to do that.
Right. There's old stories about Abe Lincoln. And it said, you know, he had made the decision before ever becoming president, before ever considering being president, that what he was doing, he would be great at. And the fact of the matter is, if he had waited to be present, to become president before being great at what he was doing, he probably would never have become president. It's that it's doing what he did well that propelled him forward.
And I think if I'm right, I may be wrong, but I think winning the presidency was the first election that he ever won.
I think you're right about that. Yes.
So talk about perseverance and not letting failure get in your way. It's just an amazing story.
And that's it. So you can't wait for that grand opportunity. You have to start now. Whatever you're doing, you start now. You do it well now. That will open the opportunities rather than waiting for the opportunities. You go, oh, well, when that happens, I'll be great at that. Well, but if you're not doing it now, that opportunity isn't going to present itself. And as we've repeated and as he repeats over and over and over in the book, you start, then ship. And that's the key. You get started, you do it well. Don't be afraid of failure. If you fail, you learn from your mistakes and you can start again and move forward until finally you can ship. And then when you do ship, start something else. So we're coming up on the end of our time. So Chip, what do you think is the big takeaway from Poke the Box?
The most important department in your own life and in your company's life is the starting and finishing department. Start and ship.
That's it. If you don't start, you can't finish. If you don't finish, you're not achieving anything. I think the big takeaway is that no matter where you are or what you're doing, you can be starting things and you can be shipping things. It doesn't matter if you own the business, if you're an employee, if you work at a nonprofit, if you're a student, whatever it is, you can start now and you can work towards the finish and ship the idea. And the fact of the matter is now, and he says this in the book, now is the best time to start.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to the Success Showcase. You can catch us every week at blogtalkradio.com/successshowcase. You can also find us online at the iTunes Store and the Apple Podcasts app. Remember, make this your best week ever and make next week even better. See you then.